एवत्रय उवाच एवं ब्रुवाणं पुरुषार्थभाजनम् जनार्दनं प्रञ्जलय प्रचेतसः तद्दर्शनध्वस्ततमो रजोमला गिराघृणन् गद्गदया सुहूर्ततमहम् Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of God had spoke thus, the Prachetas began to offer him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success of life and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, the Prachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord, who was before them face to face. Purport. The Lord is herein described as Purushartha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. Since the Prachetas had already attained the Lord's mercy, they were no longer subject to the contamination of the material modes. The material modes dissipated from them just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun rises. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally all the contamination of the material qualities of Rajas and Tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is also purified of all material contamination. Because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvatam Svakataha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Ridhi Antastohi Abhadrani Vidunote Suhritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, 17th Verse. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord Himself. If one chants and hears, he becomes purified. Gradually all material contaminations disappear. The Prachetas were already purified due to the Lord's presence before them, and they could therefore offer the proper prayers with folded hands. In other words, as soon as devotees are engaged in devotional service, they become transcendental to all material contamination immediately. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mamchayo Abhavicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samati Taitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Sometimes the devotees are dissatisfied due to their not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. When the Prachetas saw the Supreme Lord personally present, their unhappiness vanished. Now the Prachetas will offer the prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning of this chapter, Vidura was inquiring from Maitreya Muni in regards to the activities of Prachetas. And he said, it is certainly true by offering the prayers of Lord Shiva they attained liberation. But what else they attained while they were living in the material world? It's a very important question. And what were their activities? Because when we read, simply hearing about somebody attaining liberation, we actually cannot deeply understand what is the significance of that liberation. Even in our childhood days, we would read in the newspaper, Vaikuntha Samaradhane, that they have attained Vaikuntha planets, Swargastha ho gaye. But to attain that platform, what actually happened between the life and up to the liberation? Therefore, Vidura's questions are very relevant. And in this verse, very beautifully Maitreya Muni explains Krishna as the benedictor of all our material or spiritual requirements. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vritrasur, who was Chitraketu Maharaj, he was cursed by Mother Parvati. When he was offering prayers to the Lord, he used one beautiful word. He says, my dear Lord, I do not desire na naka prishtam na parameshtyam. He said, I do not desire to go to the Dhruvalok or the heavenly planets, nor do I desire to attain the position of Brahma. Na sarvabhaumam, not even I desire to become the king of the earthly planet. Na rasadipatyam, neither I want to become the king of the rasatal planet. I do not desire to attain yoga siddhis. Neither I desire to be freed from the cycle of birth and death. But what do I desire? Samanjasatva virahaya kanshe. And Prabhupada defines this word samanjasa as the source of all opportunities. Vritrasur has all these facilities because he is approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is he? He is the source of all opportunities. He said, I do not desire all of these things. I only desire is that I may associate with you. So therefore we see that even though all these source of opportunities are there, and devotee is not aspiring for that, but still Krishna offers them to his devotees. It is explained that material nature, when goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi, when she has to offer benediction, what does she do? She has to convert herself into Durga. When Mother Lakshmi converts herself into the form of Durga, the external manifestation, then she offers benediction. But unfortunately, this benediction is covered or influenced by unlimited miseries. Along with these facilities also comes cause of hankering, fear and lamentation. That is the nature of material benediction. You lament, you hanker for it. Then you receive that material benediction in whatever form it is, in the form of wealth, in the form of education, in the form of fame. What does it do? In the beginning it causes hankering. You are aspiring for it. Then you receive it. When you receive it, you are fearful because you may lose it. And eventually by the force of time you lose it and there is lamentation. But the benediction which Mother Lakshmi offers is the only one benediction, the benediction of service. When that benediction is there, along with that, then if other benediction comes, then they don't cause lamentation. Therefore it is explained that in the material world, when God wants to destroy somebody, he gives them prosperity. When you receive prosperity, we become egoistic, we become blinded by that opulence, and that itself destroys us. Therefore, what opportunity Krishna is offering to Prachetas, because Vidura wanted to know about it. And Maitreya Muni spoke what kind of benediction Lord offered them. It's very interesting when Lord offered benediction to the Prachetas, He said, because all of you are so united in service, anybody hears your pastime will also become united. And because you are so united nicely, Krishna gave one religious principle to them to follow, which is quite controversial. He said, you marry one girl. How many were there? 10 then, no? Prachetas, 9 of them. 10 of them, 10 Prachetas were asked by the Supreme Personality of God. It is the personification of all religion. He's saying, okay, you marry one woman. 10 Prachetas were marrying one woman. Means, from the material point of view, it's a big adharma. A man can marry many women. Of course, now that is also stopped. That is also considered as illegal. What to speak of one woman marrying so many men? It is irreligious. But if you read the purport of Srila Prabhupada, it's very interesting that because they were so united in their interest, and Lord offered them somebody also had the same kind of mentality. He said the dispositions are the same. Therefore, there was a higher principle than the ordinary principle. So therefore, you marry and live a peaceful life. So therefore, when the opportunities are received by this, given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the conditioned living entity, one who is practicing devotional service, aspiring to practice devotional service, then he actually sees everywhere the facility for opportunity. Krishna is source of all opportunities and living entity is source of all misfortunes. The nature of conditioned soul is to see always obstacles and difficulties. But when we come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord, then all so-called misfortune are turned into great fortune. And all so-called great fortunes, which are covered or attained through our own endeavor, ultimately they turn into great misfortune. In the Mahabharata, when Vidura met Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, it is explained that when Pandavas were already in the exile, they were in the Vanvas, and Dhritarashtra was ruling, in fact Duryodhan was ruling, but Dhritarashtra was not satisfied. There was constant anxiety. So he approached Vidur. He said, why am I in anxiety? What is the cause of my anxiety? You can imagine that he had everything under his disposal, but there was always a fear. What was the fear? The Pandavas will come and take away everything from me. So even though whatever years they were ruling, they were not satisfied. That is the nature of material happiness. All material happiness come about by exploiting others' resources. That is the nature, you can't avoid it. You can only be happy in this world if you exploit others' resources. There is no other choice. And when you do that, because it is not satisfactory, it is material, it simply increases your anxiety. Therefore, he approached Vidur and said, tell me. And Vidur gave so many suggestions. Maybe because you have stolen somebody else's property, very clear. You have burned somebody else's house. You must have stolen somebody else's wife. He says, that is the nature of material happiness, which has to give you no sleep. It is unavoidable. All so-called prosperity leads to misfortune in your life. The typical example is Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. They had everything, but they were not satisfied. But in devotional service, the greatest fortune, why? Because it's connected to Krishna. And then, amazing thing is that, when you hanker for material desires, even if they are fulfilled, they don't give satisfaction. But in the case of devotees, even if they don't hanker, Krishna offers them, and they don't care if it stays or if it doesn't stay. They are least bothered. Recently, there was a bad news for the devotees of ISKCON, and also for the conditioned souls. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, they diagnosed a very serious cancer. They are expecting that it is spreading all over his body. And according to the doctors, that there is only 17% of his survival. One of our devotees staying here, Parikshit Prabhu, he is his disciple. He called him and he was talking to him. And he said, my survival is only 17%. And yesterday there was a mail from Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. Personally, he has written it to all the devotees. And in that mail, even this misfortune, which will be seen by the outside people, what is it? He is just 54 years old, dynamic person. He never fell sick in his life, not even malaria. And then he faces with death threat as soon as possible. But how does he take it? Very beautiful letter. Everybody should read it. We are going to post it. So therein he mentions that Krishna offered me everything in my life. Materially and spiritually also. As a spiritual leader, I went around everywhere, met big people, preached Krishna consciousness. It was so nice, it was wonderful, but that was not sufficient. That was very superficial. He said, last year I was praying to Prabhupada during his Vyas Puja, let there be a greatest purification in my life. And he said, I didn't expect so early, but Prabhupada has given it as early as possible, and I'm thankful to Prabhupada. Because he's the source of all opportunities. He said, I never expected so early, but it has come, and I'm willing to accept it. Because only this kind of purification, he said, I prayed for it, and Prabhupada has given it. He said, I see in the secular world, in the material world, people are suffering. And even in the world of devotees, people are suffering. There is so much of remorse. There is so much of difficulties. There is so much of relationship problem. He said, you cannot solve this problem simply by material solution. You have to pray to Krishna for sacrifice and purification. He said, I'm willing to accept that. He's quite convinced this disease has not come about because of some material problem. In fact, the doctors say that it is very rare for the black people to suffer this kind of cancer. The specific cancer which he is going through. What is that? Melanoma cancer. He said it doesn't get for the black people. And suddenly it has come. He was traveling all over the world. He realized there was pain in his left foot. He went to the doctors. They diagnosed this is the problem. And immediately he said, I am ready to leave this body. It's not that he's committing suicide. It is not like that. But it is all meant for increasing his service to the community of devotees and for the conditioned soul. So therefore we see that when we are connected to Krishna in proper spirit, then even so-called misfortune is converted by the expert devotee into a great fortune. Otherwise you cannot actually understand the situation based upon the situation itself. The material situation cannot be analyzed or diagnosed, is it good or bad. It all depends upon how we take it. And how to take that will come by the power of Krishna's interference. Only when Krishna interferes in our consciousness, not in our material life, then the whole misfortune can be converted into good fortune. Otherwise, even the most fortunate position for a conditioned soul can be taken as most unfortunate condition. Therefore, Prabhupada would tell his devotees, don't be surprised who lives Krishna consciousness. Be surprised if somebody stays in Krishna consciousness, because even if devotee creates most fortunate situation materially possible, all facilities to practice devotional service, once Krishna consciousness may be flourishing because he is surrounded by, you know, so many devotees. But even that circle of devotees can cause great depression for somebody who does not take that facility because his mind is not clear. And for somebody who is not surrounded by devotees, is in the most difficult condition of life, but because of his attitude, which is connected to Krishna consciousness, that most unfortunate condition because it is connected to the source of all opportunities, he turns into a wonderful situation. Just before beginning to explain the path of pure devotional service in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, our acharyas explain pure devotional service begins in the Bhagavatam at the 7th canto. Of course, the first canto is an introduction, is a summary study before the Bhagavatam was spoken to Parikshit Maharaj. That was the background. But the actual pure devotional service starts in the 7th canto. But the previous cantos teach the transformation of certain devotees who are not pure devotees, but by coming in touch with Krishna, they became purified. Dhruva Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj, Maharaj Chitraketu. Chitraketu Maharaj was a devotee following a Vedic civilization, but he was lamenting and hankering because he had no son. But when he came in contact with the great souls, who are again the source of all opportunities, they tricked him. They gave him material benediction, saying that you will get a son. That was his problem, that he had no son. Therefore, he was thinking that he was suffering. So, therefore, they gave him son. And in fact, after receiving the son, his misery simply increased manifold. They only gave the son to Chitraketu Maharaj to make him realize that son is not cause of your happiness. Rather, a son can be cause of greater misery. And they proved it. When he had no son, he was suffering. But when he had a son, the misery simply increased to the extent. Before that, he was not cursing the destiny when he had no son. But when he lost his son, both husband and wife, they started cursing the destiny. They were accusing Vidata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some other, again, the great sage, they came and interfered in his life and gave him the greatest opportunity to see everything in proper perspective. And after doing that, amazing thing that Lord Sankarsan offered him all benediction. Lord Sankarsan simply increased the facility for Chitraketu Maharaj to enjoy sense gratification to unlimited extent. Much greater extent than what he was. But then again there was an interference from Durga, Mother Parvati. She cursed him. What kind of curse? Before he had only no son. That was not bothering so much, but at least he was good. But here, Parvati directly destroyed his life. She said he became Brahma Rakshas. You can imagine, for slight offense on the part of Chitraketu Maharaj, which some acharyas say that he did not commit offense. Some say that he was being, sporty with Lord Shiva. But some other Mother Parvati could not take it. She cursed him to become Brahma Rakshas. And what was his reaction? He came down. He came down not to beg from Mother Parvati to take back the curse. Just to remind her that you are not the doer. It is all the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't mind taking it. And he flew. And he became Brahma Rakshas. And then even in the demonic body, he could speak this, "My dear Lord, you are the source of all opportunity. Even this body as a demon is an opportunity for me to attain your lotus feet." In fact, some acharyas say, those four shlokas which Maharaj Chitraketu in the form of a demon spoke to Indra while he was fighting on the battlefield, they are considered as the essence. He's talking so beautifully, aspiring for the association of devotees, aspiring for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not aspiring for any material desires, and aspiring for constant remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he proved, and seeing his devotion, Maharaj Indra became so stunned. And Prabhupada writes in that context, in this case, Chitraketu, Vritrasura, who is a demon, is a Sura, is a demigod. And Indra, because he is aspiring for material desires, is a demon, is an Asura. Just see, just by coming in contact with a pure devotee, he changed the whole attitude and saw everything as an opportunity. And in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, that is the beginning of pure devotional service. What does pure devotional service involve? Pure devotional service involves, if we study that seventh canto very carefully, there is a fight between two people, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. One is Prahlad Maharaj, is the character who sees Krishna everywhere, in everything, all situations and all circumstances. He cannot avoid seeing Krishna in these four places. Not only in the material things, but also in his situation which are very, very difficult to see Krishna there. But Prahlad is able to see there. That means devotional service involves seeing Krishna, seeing everywhere, in everything, in every situation. And non-devotee means, a demon means not seeing Krishna anywhere. That was the exact character of Hiranyakashipu. He could not see Krishna, even though Krishna appeared as Narsingadev, he was not able to see. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, not seeing Krishna is demonic, and challenging where is Krishna is also demonic. Without having sufficient qualification, if you demand, I want to see Krishna, that's a demonic qualification. And as a practicing devotee, not seeing Krishna everywhere, that shows that we are not up to the level to practice devotional service. We need greater mercy of a devotee who can teach us the art of seeing Krishna everywhere. We were discussing in our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class with the brahmacharis that when we practice devotional service, after some time, if our practice is not based upon the scriptures, we may continue to believe in God, we may continue to believe in Krishna, we may continue to believe in the process of devotional service, but unfortunately, at certain time, we change the philosophy. In the readings of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bhai Rupa Goswami, he makes it very clear that it doesn't matter what is your background. If you take to the process of Krishna consciousness, from whatever background you have, you can attain the highest background. Within no time, very quickly. Recently, one of our devotees, he talked to somebody, and this devotee was quoting some other devotee who had fallen away from the path of Krishna consciousness. And he was saying that especially those who are born in the Western environment, it is not easy to practice. He was saying because it is not our culture to practice the Krishna consciousness philosophy, after some time it becomes a big burden. It becomes a very difficult burden and you want to just drop it down. You can't handle it anymore. Therefore he was saying that, it's not so easy for us to practice. It is very difficult. So he was justifying his fall down for his conditioning. He said it is easy for the Indians to practice. Now that is the example set by this devotee, saying that now he was a leader, he had influence over people. Even after falling down, he still has followers. And what does he do with his followers? Now he is teaching this philosophy. No, you being Westerners, it is not as much intensely practiced, that much greater depression it will cause you, because it is not your culture. So go slowly. But here Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's example, according to Shastras, if you have that background, which is worse than others' background. Now his understanding is that, because my background is bad, the statement is the same, my background is bad. But one is that because my background is bad, therefore I cannot practice intense devotional service. But here Bhakti Tirth Maharaj was mentioning that because my background is bad, I need to practice double intensity in my devotional service. And he was implementing it in his life. So even that becomes an opportunity. Your bad background becomes an opportunity to intensify your devotional service. It doesn't matter what is your background. It matters how do you take it. Because ultimately, it is connected to the source of all opportunities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He took it like that, and there was instant purification sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, I was always a flamboyant type. Bhakti Tirth Maharaj is mentioning in his letter, because I was always flamboyant type, arrogant in my behavior, always pushing myself in the forward. Krishna has put me in this situation now. So let me take it. And let me take it as a complete purification from the Lord and I am ready to leave this world. Who in this world who has got great facilities, everybody is respecting, not only devotee community, you know, he talks to the prime ministers. In some places, he is the private special secretary to the ministers. They listen to him. They give him special, you know, facilities in their traditional way. Why anybody with all of these facilities want to quit? And moreover, he is a devotee of the Lord. He has got greater facilities. But he said, if this is what is required to increase my purification and help devotees, I am willing to take it. This is all is there because his connection with such a devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To able to see that. Otherwise, we were discussing in our class that even as a devotee, then we make devotional service as a supportive thing. To practice devotional service, you have to go and attend some seminar, learn something from outside. If you get their help, then you can practice your devotional service nicely. Then what we are making? We are actually destroying the definition of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service by definition is independent. Pure devotional service by definition itself is independent. But if you need so many things to practice devotional service, that is not devotional service. I need this so that I can practice devotional service. I need that so that I can practice devotional service. No. By practicing devotional service, you will get everything else. And therefore, Vidura is asking this question. Other than attaining liberation, which is natural for a devotee to attain, what else they did attain in this material world? So, Lord Vishnu explained to them, Maitreya Muni explained to Vidur what other things he attained, and plus, what was their consciousness. Now he is going to speak about the prayers which they had learned from Lord Shiva, and they are offering their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
In this episode of Prachetas, Lord Vishnu is telling them that he is very pleased with them because they had very good relationship and they were cooperating. Now, we see that in Krishna consciousness, there is a lot of emphasis on this relationships and friendship, service together. And even in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates having very intense relationship and also amongst the Goswamis. Now, we are not on that level, definitely. But, I mean, when devotees are doing service and they also have kind of emotional requirements of friendship. So some people might give the argument that this is an impediment to devotional service because you are being emotionally dependent. So you just go on doing your service and you should not have emotional requirements because especially for say somebody like a brahmachari, this emotional need should not be above average for a person. So is there something called as emotional needs for a brahmachari, or is it that he should be only focused on service? So what exactly is it? Because some people say that will facilitate friendship and that will help you in your Krishna consciousness, and some people might feel that it's an impediment.
Therefore, again, we refer back to the scriptures that emotional support means encouraging in your devotional service. Even in the third canto of Bhagavad, when Hiranyaksha was condemning, he was offending the Supreme Lord Prabhupada writes in that purport, that Hiranyaksha was discouraging the Lord. Similarly, Prabhupada writes in the one of the purport, you know, in one instance where one man came and he was asking very doubtful questions, what will happen to your mission after you depart? you know, is it that these Western people will take care of it? Prabhupada said, you are discouraging me. No, no, Swamiji. He said, no, you are discouraging, you are not encouraging me. Prabhupada said, the Americans and the Europeans, they encouraged me so much. And Indians only gave me pain by calling me CIAs and this and that. And he was crying. He was preferring to stay in Western world rather than to come back to India. So if someone says that it is an emotional, it's not good for a devotee, just one has to continually serve Krishna. Such person who speaks is in the mode of passion. He takes devotional service, the activities of his passion in the Rajoguna, and then which ultimately leads to Tamogun, you know, being very abusive to other people. He becomes very concerned about, you know, certain goals, you know, certain. He becomes almost like Lord Brahma in the mode of passion. He does not know the art of giving emotions to others. That is one aspect, becoming extremate. And another is that if a devotee is only aspiring for that emotional support and not uses that emotional support by, you know, paying it back in the form of service. A devotee may give us emotional support, but how do you pay it back? The reciprocation has to be there. He has given something to you in the form of affection and love. You pay it back in the form of service. Anything extremist is dangerous. We are not. And then a devotee, if he does not receive at all from anybody, a staunch devotee will continue, knowing that my Guru and Krishna will be pleased. But if somebody comes to him and appreciates his service, recently, very beautiful, Indradyumna Maharaj, you know, he was in Poland. Very beautiful one. He went to one Sulub Sauchalai there. And then he saw one elderly lady sitting there. He just said, you know, you kept the toilet so clean. And she was in tears. She said, nobody in my so many years of life ever told me this. And then Indradyumna Maharaj said, no, actually I'm telling you, it's so clean, I'm so happy. And he invited her for lunch, prasad. She was more shocked that, you know, what is this person is inviting me? In India, bhangi means who respects them. The word bhangi itself shows that it's very abusive. And he invited her for prasad. And then he himself came to pick her up. But he saw that she had left. Then he saw one elderly man. He said, where is that lady? Then that elderly man said, she has gone back. She has gone home. She is not sick. She is sick, therefore she has gone. He said, who are you? He said, I'm her husband. He said, we work shifts. That's how we maintain our life. Then he said, does it satisfy? He said, satisfaction does not come from this service. He said, satisfaction comes. He gave a big shock to Indradyumna Maharaj. He said, satisfaction comes by reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. He could not connect Indradyumna Maharaj and that Bhagavad Gita. No, he had not seen. And then here he shows, you know, his understanding. Who encouraged him? Nobody encouraged. So only Krishna was encouraging him through his books, through his Bhagavad Gita. And when he got this special encouragement, he was more overwhelmed. Yes, we have to depend on the Supreme Lord when nobody encourages us so that we can continue in devotional service. But you are always hankering that even our fellow devotees will encourage us. And that gives greater satisfaction. Yes, Krishna is doing, we know, Guru is satisfied with our service. But you are always aspiring, you know, from our fellow devotees. So it is natural, it is unavoidable. Now you may continue without it, but you are aspiring for it. So sometime in the name of not being emotional, a devotee can put a facade. I'm being very strong, you know, nothing can shake me. And these are the people, when certain instances in their life, they are shaken to such an extent, up to the level they give up their devotional service. Let you be shaken by the emotions of devotee, so you should hanker for it. There is no harm in it. But not to the level where you don't serve at all. Then you are only aspiring for that emotion. Recreation for me, it's also encouragement from devotees. What Krishna says, yukta hara viharasa yukta chesta sukarmasa yukta sapna bodhasa yoga bhavati. when we sit and talk to devotees, not to the level where we are not doing devotional service itself, but that is very much required. Otherwise, any hard-hearted person who was only served, never got interacted with devotees in this regard, when somebody goes and cracks his heart, says, you have done so nice service, he'll break. He'll cry tears. Because that is what we are made of. We are made of those super sensitive substances. You just make a facade and create a false covering, which is a big contamination. Because devotional service means to become more and more sensitive, not become dry like the yogis or the gyanis. There are no emotions. But to bhakta means to increase our sensitivity level. So that you can actually, again we were discussing yesterday, that even a pure devotee of the Lord, you know, why does he say himself to be so contaminated? The feeling of contamination for him is so great. Our contamination is, we can't even calculate. We are like wholesale dealers. Huh? Our contamination is so great, but we don't feel anything about it. Why? Because we are not being very refined in our feelings. But a pure devotee, even the contamination is far distance away from him. But he can feel it, this contamination is coming, and therefore he can cry out for Krishna. Then, my dear Lord, just see, I am so contaminated. But for us, because we are not developing that sensitivity, we allow to be indifferent. As a practicing devotee, we allow to be indifferent. And therefore, it doesn't bother us. Hurting others, hurting ourselves, you know, allowing contamination to come to our life, it doesn't hurt. In fact, if somebody tells that you have contamination, that hurts us more. He said, why are you bothering to clean my contamination? So, we'll stop here at this time. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.